This podcast contains adult language and content. Listener discretion is advised. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. My parents divorced in 2006 when I was 18. They split up right before their 18th anniversary. It was a long time coming, though. My dad sustained a head injury 4 years prior, so his drinking and drug use went from a lot to a never-ending cyclone of crazy. So my mom took a risk and asked to split up. My dad left, and we remained in the same house, located in a small city near our state's capital. It was weird at first, but within the first month of him leaving, we had a peace that we never knew that we could have. I distinctively remember feeling free for the first time in my life at that point. My dad had to be supervised by law enforcement when he collected his stuff from our house because he was violent and threatened to kill me on several occasions. He never cleared out his junk from the basement, so my mom and some of my friends and I assisted in completing the cleanup effort. He mostly left trash behind, but we ended up getting $200 in returns from all the beer cans that we brought to recycle. Once the basement was clear, my friends and I got furniture, instruments, stereos, and a fridge for soda and beers. We completely took over that garage and basement. My friends and I also discovered that my dad had been growing weed in the basement, as he left all of his plants and equipment behind. At that time, it was illegal in my state. My mom had an important job where she could get fired or lose her license if an operation like this was discovered in her home, and my friends and I didn't want to get involved in selling any of it. Honestly, we were just interested in having fun with what was left over on our terms, but that was it. We mainly liked to drink, so we threw a lot of it out. We didn't think anything of it at all since my dad had told us he had taken everything that was his. So I thought that was that. I should mention that our house is on a hill and borders a city street that has alleyway access. Our basement could only be accessed outside, and it was kept locked with a padlock, and the door itself was pretty sturdy. Our house was also next to a diner and a storage garage, both of which closed early. Everything around us was closed after 5 p.m. There were other houses on the street as well, and the main drag we were on connected to a small highway. I don't remember when it started, but my dad began calling our house nightly, drunk. He kept accusing my mom of cheating, which seemed ironic since he was already living with another woman. Sometimes he would call and cry, and sometimes he was just belligerent. After we started receiving these calls, we noticed that people were starting to prowl around the house. It started very subtly, then ramped up when my special needs sister started seeing a man wearing a ski mask at her window. Whenever I was alone or watching my sister, I chased these prowling people away with a bat. My mom was working multiple jobs at the time. I would often wait up most nights just to patrol around and make sure that everybody was safe. In addition to gaining a good layer of trauma from all this, I also gained a caffeine addiction as I was always on alert. I had suspected a few of my dad's friends of being responsible for the prowling, since I knew that they were always very interested in the basement. On one night in particular, I remember being awoken by the sound of my bedroom window being tampered with. I looked and saw a man in a ski mask trying to open my window with a large hunting knife in his mouth. When I saw him, I quietly crept down to the floor and crawled out of my room and into the living room. I grabbed the Louisville Slugger that I kept by the front door. I then put on my shoes and my jacket, as it was winter, and snuck outside to confront the man. Although he was wearing a ski mask, I immediately recognized him as one of my dad's friends. He started talking crap, so I warned him that he needed to leave, or I would hurt him. Undeterred, he took a swing at me with the knife. He missed, since I pulled back. I cracked the bat on his shoulder as hard as I could, and I heard bones break. I watched his shoulder move in a way that shoulders should not move as he fell to the ground in the snow. Then I got on top of him and punched him over and over as I removed the ski mask. My mom heard the commotion, so she came out, and our neighbors started stepping outside as well. When everyone saw what was going on, they rushed over and tried to separate me from my dad's friend, and they called the cops. It took my mom and five others to pry me off of him. As we waited for the cops, he tried to run, but he was having a hard time since I had injured him. A car ended up driving by before the cops arrived, and he was able to hop into it as it took off. When the cops came, we all gave our story. My dad's friend left the knife behind, so the cops took that, and they left. Things were quiet for a while after that, but the following summer, the same guy returned. I cornered him in the dark in our small backyard. He yelled something about wanting his equipment from the basement. I told him that it was all thrown out, and he charged at me. So I picked up a large brick and I hit him in the same place I did months prior. I heard his bones breaking again. This time I sat on him as he kicked and screamed. My mom called the cops and they actually came and arrested him. They told me that I broke his collarbone and he wanted to press charges, but nothing ever came of it. The whole situation blew over after that and everything stopped. My dad admitted he was involved in sending people over to prowl on the house. He said he wasn't sorry about pitting these men against his kids and ex-wife, which has altered my relationship with him indefinitely. I saw the man out and about during the pandemic as our city had a lot of public gatherings and such. While I'm not the same person I was when I had this altercation with him in the yard, I was very happy to see him have a healthy level of fear upon seeing me. I've also run into another one of the guys involved in this. When he saw me, he was very cautious and referenced that he didn't want me to do what I did to his friend. I'm glad that these men know never to mess with my family or to try and break into my home because there are consequences. This happened about 8 years ago in my local supermarket. I'm a female, and I was 36 at the time. It was a busy Saturday morning at the supermarket, and I was in the queue to pay. I was second in line. In front of me at the register, there was a family of three, which was a mom, a dad, and their daughter. The mom and dad were unloading a trolley, and their daughter was sitting in the trolley seat facing me. There were two men behind me who were making me very uncomfortable, standing way too close to me. You know how you can feel someone before you see them? It was like that. I was facing the daughter, and she looked very uncomfortable herself. I noticed that she kept slinking down into her seat in the trolley, making herself smaller. She kept looking over her shoulder at her dad. I then turned around, and I saw that these men were waving and smiling at her, trying to get her attention. Then, one of the guys reached around me and touched her foot. He did it in such a familiar way that I assumed he had to know the family. She flinched away, but he did it again. She quietly called out for her dad, who promptly swung around and said in a booming voice, "What the hell, dude? Don't touch my daughter." The strange man replied, "But we want to be friends." The dad was not having it, so he said, "I don't know you. Back off." Since I realized that they didn't know each other at all, I instantly went into protective mode myself. The dad went back to unloading the trolley and I positioned myself between the two guys and the daughter, completely blocking their access to her. Believe it or not, one of the guys still tried to get the daughter's attention. I leaned slightly towards the daughter and loudly said, "You are so lucky that you have such a brave and strong daddy. I'm so glad he's protecting you from these bad men." The dad looked at me and we had a silent exchange as they quickly packed up their groceries and left. After that, I assumed it was over since the girl was safe. As I unpacked my trolley, I noticed that one of the men had suddenly moved around the checkout queue and was standing at the end of the till where you pack your groceries into bags. He was staring at me with malice. The other guy was still standing behind me in the queue, and my trolley was between us. I'm not going to lie. In the moment, I felt completely intimidated. I'm not a small woman. I'm tall with very broad shoulders, and I am quite strong. In my trolley, I had 33 pounds of dog food. My adrenaline was pumping, and I felt like I needed to show these guys that I was no easy target. I made eye contact with the aggressor at the end of the till as I lifted the heavy bag of dog food like it was a roll of toilet paper. My facial expression didn't change. I didn't express any strain or tension, and I maintained eye contact with him. But he didn't flinch at this. It made me so angry that any fear I had been feeling completely dissipated. I paid and started to walk away, but he blocked me from exiting the till. I bumped him with my trolley, and he laughed menacingly before moving out of the way. I didn't want to go straight to my car after that, so I walked around the mall a bit. Every time I turned around and looked, these two men were behind me, now with a third guy. They weren't even hiding the fact that they were following me. One guy even dragged his finger horizontally across his neck as he looked at me, essentially gesturing that he was going to cut me. Then I made my way to the security desk. When they saw where I was going, they turned around and took off. I told security everything, and they recommended that I let the supermarket know what happened as well. I reported it to the supermarket and gave them the number of the till that this happened at so that they could review the security footage. A security guard escorted me to my car after that, and I took the long way home, checking my rearview mirror constantly. I never saw them again, but to be honest, I never even returned to that supermarket. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm always wondering what I would do if I had an extra hour in my day. Go for a run, take a nap. Well, a lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. For me, therapy isn't just an appointment. It's time that I look forward to every week where I get to meet the person that I consider a partner that's always there to help me through the rough times. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It also empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma, etc. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/notmeet today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/notmeet. Now back to the show. This happened a while ago when I was home alone with my dog. After all this time, I'm still not sure what happened. It was really strange, and I still have no idea what the man wanted. I was watching TV one night at 11 p.m. when I heard a car pull up and turn their engine off outside. I figured it was obviously a neighbor, but my nosy dog wanted to have a look, so he went to the window. He messed the blinds up when he went to look, so I got up to fix them. When I did, I noticed that there was a car parked across the street from mine and my neighbor's house. I couldn't make out any details of the vehicle, but it looked like the driver was still sitting in the car. I didn't think anything of it, so I got a drink and went back to watching TV. Then, about 20 minutes later, out of nowhere, I heard a tapping at the door. It wasn't knocking. It was much lighter and quiet. I honestly thought that maybe I was hearing things, but my dog sat up, snapped to attention, and looked at the door. I paused what I was watching, and then the tapping started on the window. I opened the blinds just a little bit, and I saw a man standing there. I couldn't see the details of his face, but he immediately walked back to the door and started tapping again. I suddenly had this awful feeling. I was absolutely terrified. The tapping at the door never stopped, but something in my head was saying that if I opened that door, then something really bad was going to happen. I then went upstairs, opened a window, and called down to him to ask what he wanted. I felt safer doing this, since it created more distance between us. He responded in a really quiet voice and said that he was delivering pizza. He told me how much it cost. At first, I felt so stupid for being frightened, and I told him I didn't order a pizza. I assumed he had been speaking quietly and knocking lightly since it was late and didn't want to disturb the rest of the neighborhood. My dog had followed me upstairs, and he was now letting out an odd growl. He was also starting to bark, and this wasn't unusual for him, so I just tried to shush him. The man downstairs was growing agitated as I was calming my dog. He told me he knew that he had the correct address. He said, "You better come downstairs now and open the door to pay me what you owe." I was really confused because I most definitely did not order a pizza. I hadn't ordered any food. I began to repeat this information to him, and then I noticed he didn't even have a pizza. He wasn't carrying anything at all. I didn't want to call him out on this, so I just told him that he had the wrong address, and then he got really angry. He kept telling me, "Open the door." He kept going back and forth between being angry and being persuasive, trying to get me to come downstairs and open the door. I finally asked him where the pizza was, and he said that he was holding it. Now, it was very dark outside, but I could tell that he definitely didn't have anything in his hands. My dog was starting to make even more of a fuss at this point, and the stranger had turned into a broken record. So I felt stuck. He kept repeating over and over again, "Come downstairs, open the door." All the ruckus must have alerted my neighbor because he opened his front door. When the man saw my neighbor, he didn't say a word. He practically ran across the street and dove into the car that I had heard pull up a while ago. And when he went back to the car, he was empty-handed. I have no idea what he wanted, but he certainly was not a delivery driver. It freaked me out, as well as my dog, who is a larger breed. Ordinarily, my dog makes me feel safe, but the man saw my large dog through the window and wasn't deterred at all. That made the whole situation seem even stranger and less random. All of this almost seemed planned somehow, but I'll never know why. This happened to me in 2009. I was 22 at the time, but since I'm very short, I'm often mistaken for a young teen. I just finished a driving lesson. Normally, my instructor would drop me off in front of my home at the end of our lesson, but that day, he had somewhere to go. So right after our lesson, he dropped me off at a nearby bus stop. My apartment block was about 500 meters or a third of a mile away, at the end of a long stretch of a quiet road. It was in an area that was being developed at the time, so there were some abandoned old houses on both sides of the road leading up to my apartment complex at the very end. That's all that was out there. It was rare to see cars in the area that weren't going straight to the apartment complex since there was nowhere else to go. There was a clinic a few blocks away, so occasionally there would be somebody who was lost looking for directions. So after my driving lesson, it was around 8 p.m., and it was just getting dark outside. The street was barely lit, but the walk from the bus stop to my home was only a few minutes, so I didn't think anything of it. But then, a car drove past me and started reversing until it was slowly driving beside me. A woman was driving the car and a man was in the passenger seat. It was like they were keeping pace with me intentionally, so I slowed down, thinking that they were going to ask me for directions to the clinic. The woman asked, "Do you live out here?" Feeling like this confirmed that they wanted directions, I stopped and said, "Yes." Then she replied, "We are the police, and we're going to take you home." She was driving a completely normal vehicle, so this really struck me as extremely odd. Not to mention, neither she nor the man were in uniform. They didn't look official in any way, so I was incredulous. Immediately, I thought that these people must have thought that I was some kind of 10-year-old or something, and they were trying to kidnap me. The woman was starting to get agitated, so she sternly said, "You have to listen to the police. Get in the car and we'll take you home." I was shocked. All I could manage to say was, "How dare you?" I was offended that they would think anybody would be so stupid as to fall for this. By this point, the car was completely stopped in the road, and I saw the woman start to open the door, so I burst into the fastest sprint of my life while fumbling with my phone to call my mom. She answered the phone before I got to the complex, and I screamed, "Buzz me in! I'm in danger!" My dad went out to look for them right when I got there, but the car was nowhere to be seen. I called the police and informed them of what happened, but nothing ever came of it. I've always been very creeped out by this encounter and often find myself wondering who they were and what their intentions were. I have two Australian Shepherds. One is mine and the other is a foster dog. Both of them are roughly 60 pounds. I took them on a walk recently at a local wilderness refuge that has a bunch of trails. I've been there many times with my dogs and never had any problems. We were walking down one of the trails and they barked at a few people that we saw. Every time I saw someone, I'd step to the side of the trail with the dogs and let them pass. I always apologized to the people for all of my dogs barking as they passed. When this happens, generally, the person smiles and keeps walking, and we carry on. Well, I saw this one guy approaching, and the dogs went into alert mode as usual, so we stepped off to the side so that he could pass. Instead of passing, he stopped and said, "Oh, I don't think your dogs like me." I told him no, and explained that they're just nervous. I apologized for them being so loud as I held them by their harnesses, keeping them close to me. But they were going crazy. They were barking, lunging, and growling, the whole works. I just kept standing there, and he said, "I'm so sorry they don't like me." Now, I was weirded out because he had not broken eye contact with me, and he seemed rather unfazed by the dogs. I again told him that it was okay, and I assured him that my dog's behavior was not his fault. As I tried to guide the dogs away, he said, "I'm going to keep moseying up the trail now." This was a little odd. Why would I need to know that? I just told him to have a good day and we walked off in the opposite directions. I thought that this was a strange encounter, but hey, we can all be a little weird sometimes, so I didn't think anything of it. A few minutes later, I heard him call out from behind me, and when I turned around, I saw him approaching us again. He said, "I really want to be friends with your dogs. I didn't want to leave them on bad terms, so I came back. I want to make friends with them." He began walking up. Whenever I come across nervous dogs, I leave them alone for the most part. If I do try to make friends with them, I squat down, slowly extend my hand, and gently walk to them. Now, he didn't do anything like this. Honestly, I swear he never even looked at my dogs, not even once. He was just looking at me the entire time. Meanwhile, the dogs were going absolutely nuts again. But I didn't grab their harnesses. I let them have full length of their leashes to put some distance between us and the man. He continued to approach us, but the dogs were having none of it. He apologized again and said, "I'm sorry. I don't think they're going to be friends with me." But again, he wasn't looking at them. He was looking at me. I agreed with him and told him that I knew they wouldn't let him get any closer. So he finally turned around and left us. It took us a while to get there, but I was grateful he was finally leaving us alone. His persistence was so bizarre. I can't help but think that he had something other than being friends with my dogs in mind. I'm very glad that my dogs were there with me that day, and I'm glad they made it abundantly clear he wasn't getting anywhere near me. I'm a 20-year-old female, and I recently moved into a new apartment with my boyfriend who travels away for work for long periods of time. An older man who appeared to be around 50 started becoming friendly with me, knowing that I was new to the complex. I made the mistake of telling him I live with my partner, but he frequently goes away for work for a while at a time. After I let him know about that, he came knocking on my door almost every day. He would wait if I didn't answer, but he would eventually leave after 5 minutes of knocking with no answer. One day, I was out in the complex common area in the grass playing with my brother, who's only 2 years old. As we were playing, I saw him coming my way and quickly picked my brother up to go back to the apartment, but it was too late. We were spotted. The man started making conversation, asking about my brother. He literally tried to grab my baby brother out of my arms, but I held onto my brother tight and pulled away as he started to cry. I hastily excused us and said, "I have to go feed him," and walked away. That was the last time I went near that man with my brother. A few days later, I heard a knock at my door, and I opened it without even thinking. It ended up being that older man. He walked straight past me and right into my apartment without even saying a single word. He was just smiling. I quickly asked him if he was doing okay, and he said, "Oh, I'm good. I just wanted to see what your place looked like from the inside." He then proceeded to walk into every room. As he checked all my windows, he observed, "Huh, so all your windows have bars on them except for the bathroom." I nervously laughed and replied, "Yeah, I guess so." I didn't know what to do, so I walked out onto the front patio hoping that he would follow me out of the apartment and continue talking to me. It was all I could think of to do since I wanted him out, but I was scared to anger him. Once he joined me out front, I closed my door and said, "Sorry, I have to get going. I have to go to the store. "It's going to close soon," and then walked away. That night, while hanging my clothes out to dry, another neighbor noticed me and introduced herself. I told her what happened and asked if she saw the man. Apparently, he had been doing the exact same things to her. She told her partner that the creepy neighbor was doing it to me, and that was the last straw. He ended up going and talking to the older man. After that, the older man only tried knocking on my door one more time, that I know of anyway. When he did, I hid in my kitchen for 10 minutes until he left. I haven't heard anything since and haven't seen him around, but sometimes I do wake up at night panicking, thinking that he's planning on doing something to me. What if he tries to enter through that unbarred window that I have? This started about 2 or 3 years ago. I had been through a terrible breakup, and once things were through, I started receiving these disturbing phone calls. I need to preface this by saying that I have a very small circle of friends, and I'm not on Facebook or any other social sites where I update others with photos, daily activities, or life updates of any kind. I am certain that the ex I just split up with had nothing to do with the following. The first call I received was simple. Whoever the caller was said that they missed me. I asked who it was, and I was met with a major generalization. "It's me, don't you remember?" I hung up, but they immediately called back crying. This adult male who was calling was upset that I was quote-unquote being mean. Although I couldn't see him, I could sense that he was pouting like a child over the phone. I hung up again, and he didn't call back after that. Looking back, I should have blocked the number right then and there, but since I was still blindsided by my breakup, I guess I wasn't thinking very clearly. I continued to receive calls in the days after the initial calls. He would call, and if I didn't answer, he would leave messages. He would specify how pretty I looked in my blue sweater on the days that I was wearing my blue sweater. One time, he said that he was happy that he knew how I took my coffee, and he said that he would remember it when we finally went out for a drink together. I blocked every number that he was calling from, but he would always call from another. One day, I was so fed up that I yelled at him to leave me alone and then hung up. When he called me back, it wasn't the guy who had been calling me, but his mother. She was very upset, and she said that I was hurting her boy by not wanting to talk. I remember being able to hear him crying and screaming in the background. At this point, it dawned on me that this wasn't a joke or a prank. There was something very wrong with these people, and they were obviously watching me. For the next few weeks, I had to live in my car since I didn't have anywhere to go following my breakup. The entire time I hardly slept. I was terrified, thinking that I would wake up one day and see the guy who had been calling me standing outside of my windows. Luckily, I never saw him, but when I finally got a place, he called to congratulate me and said that he couldn't wait to come over. The calls ended just as abruptly as they started after that. I haven't heard from either of these people for over a year, but fairly recently, I checked my phone after a very busy workday and I noticed 10 missed calls. I was terrified to check my voicemails. I reached out to the police, but they won't do anything since I haven't been explicitly threatened, as they said. All they have advised me to do is just block the numbers. I'm going to change my number, but I'm terrified that the calls will continue after that. I'm trying my best not to upset the callers any further, but I feel like I'm living in a horror movie. When I was 16, I was in a choir at my high school. We were often booked to perform in various venues and a lot of different events around the world. My choir was always booked to sing at our local middle school's sporting events. The middle school in my hometown is just about half a mile away from my childhood home. Whenever I had to go there to an event, I just walked since I didn't get my license until I was 17. One night, I think it was November, we had to sing at a basketball game. By the time I was able to leave to go back home, it was pretty dark outside. Normally, I wasn't allowed to walk alone at night, but for choir events, I was given permission to, unless I felt unsafe. On this particular night, there wasn't any reason for me to be creeped out at all, at least not at first. So, I started my walk. Just down from the middle school is a stretch of road with almost no streetlights. This particular stretch of road has always creeped me out when walking. I walked through the stretch quickly and had a fast pace going, which was easy as I'm naturally a paranoid person. About 2 minutes into the dark zone, I heard rapid footsteps approaching from behind me. At first, I figured it was a jogger, but the person did not attempt to pass me. They just hung back about 10 feet away from me. They also began whistling a jaunty tune, which I guess I thought was fun. I wasn't super creeped out, perhaps because of the happy whistling tune, but I noticed that the footsteps began to speed up. There were no cars on the road, and given the lack of light, when I turned around, all I could see was the silhouette of this person. They were shrouded in darkness. At that realization, I quickened my pace to barely under a run. The whistling continued, getting more breathless as the person began to jog after me. I looked back to see a dark figure coming at me now in full speed. In terror, I began to run frantically as well. I will never forget those last moments, running through my dark subdivision, hearing his upbeat whistling in contrast with his heavy, determined footsteps getting closer and closer. This person followed me up to my door. I ran inside and locked the front door behind me immediately. I checked all the other doors before going upstairs to my bedroom. From my window, I could still see the silhouette outside in the dark. I could still hear him whistling. I slept with a knife that night. I'm a 29-year-old male. Recently, I was out partying with four of my female friends. We were all having drinks at a club in Central Europe. The night was going great. We were dancing and talking. All of us had fun. At around 2 a.m., the girls grabbed a taxi and went home, but I stayed at the club a bit longer to finish my drink. I also decided to dance for about 20 minutes before grabbing a taxi and making my way home. When I arrived on the street where I live, my drunk ass realized that I didn't have my keys. I live alone, so I couldn't even get inside of my home. I called for another taxi and went back to the club to look for my keys. First, I went to the bar to ask if anybody had turned in any lost keys to them that night. Unfortunately, they did not have my keys, so I started to look around for them in the club, every single place that I was that night. I had the flashlight on my phone turned on, looking on the floor for my keys through a mass of people. About 10 minutes went by, and I hadn't found anything apart from broken glass and discarded cigarette butts. Then, I went back to the place where I was initially looking for my keys. This was the place where we had been having drinks with my friends. I started to look for my keys on the benches instead of on the ground. People were sitting on the benches where we originally were, so I sat down near the corner. Right beside me, there was a guy who lined up some drugs on his phone, and he was freely offering and sharing the drugs with other people. He put his jacket right on the corner of the bench where I wanted to look for my keys, so I grabbed his jacket. And to my surprise, My keys were right under the jacket, in the middle of the bench. I was still drunk, but I was so happy that I found my keys, so I began yelling about how happy I was. Earlier in the evening, I met a guy who was sitting on that bench in the same area that my friends and I were. We'll call him Logan. Logan was nice the whole night, and he was still there when I returned to look for my keys, so when I found them, I continued talking with him. I even went to the bar and grabbed another beer just to talk with him for a bit longer before having to go back home again. I went to use the restroom, and when I came back, Logan had found himself an acquaintance with whom he was talking. As they spoke amongst themselves, I started to finish my beer and smoked a cigarette as I got ready to go home. This is when the guy who was serving lines of drugs on his phone started talking to me. We'll call him Pedro, as that was the name he gave me at the time, but it was definitely a fake name. I was talking with Pedro in English. He said that he was 19 years old and from Colombia. He told me stories about what life was like in Colombia, and he talked about his family struggles. He told me that he was the oldest son in his family and that his father died recently. Since he felt like he needed to step up for his family, he found himself in Slovakia trying to make money to support them. He even showed me photos of him and his family back in Colombia. I empathized with Pedro, and I was feeling sorry for him. After about 20 minutes, Logan said that he was ready to leave with a girl that he had met, and he said that they were going home. He asked Pedro if he had any MDMA on him, and Pedro sold them some, and then Logan left with the girl. Other people hanging out around the benches saw what was happening. They wanted some drugs from Pedro as well. So, he started to make lines on his phone again. I told Pedro that I was ready to go home and wished him the best of luck. I then grabbed my jacket and started walking out. But Pedro called out to me and stopped me. He said that it was late, and he suggested that I go back to his hotel with him. He swept the drugs off of his phone onto the table, took his belongings, and told the people that they could finish whatever was on the table for free. Then Pedro and I walked out of the club. When we were outside, I told him I would walk him to his hotel, but I needed to go home after that. We talked the whole way back. He was saying that he liked how I understood his situation and said that I was a good person. When we arrived at the hotel, he messaged someone, asking them to let him into the hotel since it was locked. He asked if I would have one last beer with him. I said sure, but told him I would have to be on my way after that. By this point, it was 5 a.m. Some girl came and opened the door for us. She and Pedro spoke to each other in Spanish as they greeted each other. The hotel itself didn't look like a public hotel, but there was a reception area and a stairway going up to other floors. There was also a dining room on the left. Pedro told me to wait there in the dining room. I went to the dining room where there was another girl sitting with her laptop. I greeted her with a polite hola and sat down. Pedro came back after 3 minutes with two opened cans of some kind of beverage. All I remember was the can was gold and there was a parrot and the Jack Daniels logo. This was the moment where I should have been suspicious. I should not have drank from an open can, especially one being offered to me by somebody I just met. But my drunk ass overlooked this fact and drank from the can. I was talking with Pedro about all of the drug cartels in Colombia and how their politics were messed up. After about 10 minutes, I started to feel weird. My hands and my eyes were tingling. I quickly became aware of what was happening, so I grabbed my phone, turned on location services, and enabled mobile data. When Pedro cheekily asked me how I was feeling, my adrenaline levels blew up. I immediately thought that I was being abducted by some trafficking ring. My sight continued to weirdly tingle, and the lights were suddenly blinding me. My jaw felt like it was fucked up as I was grinding my teeth, I have taken drugs in the past, and whatever this was felt like a stimulant and a dissociative, which were tough to experience at the same time. It made everything really hard to understand. I tried to keep my voice calm and my mind present. I told Pedro that I knew what was going on and asked him why he would do this. Pedro's hands started to shake, but he didn't give me an answer. The girl with the laptop looked right into my eyes, which was the first time she made any kind of acknowledgement toward me. Then Pedro grabbed his phone and started to message somebody on WhatsApp. It seemed like Pedro was talking about me with whoever he was messaging on WhatsApp. He kept taking long pauses when he was talking to me. He only said something to me after receiving incoming messages. It was like he was taking direction from somebody. During the gaps in conversation with Pedro, I started to talk with the girl on the laptop. I told her I didn't give a fuck about what they were planning on doing, but I was walking out. I was trying to stay calm and in control of the situation. I remember sitting there, slurring. "I get what Pedro is doing, but I don't get your part in this," I said as I pointed my finger at the two girls. Then Pedro got another notification on his phone. He apologized abruptly and said that I could go home if I wanted to. I didn't respond to him. I just got my drugged ass up and started to walk out. As I was attempting to leave the dining room, I paused by the girl with the laptop, stared right into her eyes, and held up my hand for a fist bump. She grimaced as she looked into my eyes and gave me a fist bump back. I walked to the main door of the reception area, which was closed and locked. I started to kick and punch the doors while yelling, "Open the fucking door!" One of the girls finally opened it, and I walked out. Once I was outside, my heart was pumping. My entire body was shaking. I was feeling both dizzy and wide awake. I ran to the main street, and I was calling my mom to come and get me as fast as possible, but I didn't know where I was. I was feeling dissociated as I tried to comprehend what just happened. As I got to the main street, where there was a bus stop, I started to feel very paranoid. Then, a white Mercedes SUV stopped right on the main road near the bus stop. They turned their car off, then their lights, and just stopped there. I was on the phone with my mom, and she told me to look for a CCTV camera on the street. When I found one, I stood right under it. The camera was right at the bus stop. I made sure to stay in sight of the camera so that I was seen. I felt woozy and strange, and my mom told me that I was talking oddly, so she told me to describe what I could see around me. I told her that I had just seen a few people walking along the main street that I was on. Everybody was looking at their phones as they passed by, but occasionally someone would look at me. One guy came close to the bus stop, and I approached him while I still had my mom on the phone. I was suspicious of him, so I asked him, "What do you want?" He replied, "I'm sorry, do I know you?" I quickly apologized since I realized my drugged ass just berated an innocent guy on the street. After about 10 minutes of being on the phone with my mom, the white SUV started its engine and left. Then my mom arrived in her car just minutes later. I was walking to her car on the road, but I couldn't walk properly. I was still feeling paranoid, and there was a ton of adrenaline pumping through my body. My heart was beating so fast that I thought I was going to pass out or have a seizure or something. Somehow I managed to get into my mom's car. She was in her pajamas and was so scared. I caught her up on everything that happened. I told her to drive around the city and take a bunch of turns instead of driving me home in case we were being followed. We drove around for about an hour. The whole ride, I was feeling weird. At one point, I even felt like I left my body. I truly can't describe it at all. I didn't feel like myself. I felt like I wasn't real. The lights were blinding me, and my vision was blurring and tingling. My eyes felt like they were vibrating up and down. I have no idea what I was dosed with, but it was a strange mix of drugs for sure. I finally arrived at home around 7:30 a.m. My mom stayed at my place with me, comforting me. I tried to sleep, but I couldn't. We were talking about going to the police as we wondered if I was still in any kind of danger with these people. I fell asleep at 11 a.m. During this time, my mom cleaned up my apartment and my sister came to visit me. I truly don't know what I would have done without my family. Then one of my friends who I was out with came over. As I talked to her, I told her what happened and I broke down. I asked her, "Why the hell would I be a target of something like this? I'm a chubby, beardy guy. Why would they want to abduct me?" I decided not to go to the police. I was afraid to go to them, as our police department and city politics are corrupt. Law enforcement always worked with all the shady characters around town. They always have for as long as I can remember. I knew if they took my report and started an investigation, I would be stopped by other officials. My mom took me to the ER later that day since I was having spasms all over my body. They gave me an IV and sent a sample of my blood to a lab for a toxicology report. Then they ran some tests, EKG and blood pressure, then sent me home. When the toxicology reports came back, there were traces of fentanyl, methylphenidate, and ketamine in my blood. Also, while being given the IV, the doctor told my mom that unfortunately, this is not uncommon. He's dealt with a lot of patients who have unknowingly been drugged. In fact, he said it's becoming more common. I still don't fully understand what happened to me. It was a peculiar experience with so many red flags. Why did Pedro seem to get nervous after I started calling all of them out? Why would he only talk to me after receiving messages on WhatsApp? Who was he even messaging? And why the fuck would he even drug me? And most importantly, why did they just let me go? I'll never have the answers to these questions, but to Pedro and the two girls at the weird hotel, let's not ever meet again. Thank you for listening, and make sure you stick around after the music for your extended ad-free version of this week's episode if you're a patron. If you'd like to get access to that and hours upon hours of bonus content, all ad-free, head over to patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast to sign up and support the show today. This week you have heard "I Got a Collarbone to Pick" by Nostalgic Winters 98, "They Followed Me" after I intervened by Lady Delirium, "I Didn't Order a Pizza" by Signpost Lake, "We Are the Police and We Are Going to Take You Home" by Garbage Lady 2, "Sometimes I'm Glad My Dogs Go Crazy" by Kitties and Biscuits, "Man Keeps Trying to Come Into My Home" by Jolly Channel 9974, "Disturbing Phone Calls" by That Wrench Winch, "The Whistling Follower" by Brilliant Bex 1992, and finally, "I Think I Was Almost Abducted" by Anonymous. All of the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. Make sure you send your stories in to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com if you'd like to hear them on the show. And finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Odd Trails, my true paranormal podcast, and the Old Time Radio Cast, both at crypticcountypodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're looking for something to do in your spare time and you just want to connect with some other folks, you can check out my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/crypticcounty. We'll see you next week. Everyone, stay safe.
As a fashion and publicity.